League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome finally to one of our annual highlights, the big preview slash prediction Ipswich Town Kings of Anglia podcast. I am Mark Heath. I'm your host as ever, and I've been your host for around 7 years, along with one of my best friends, Stuart Watson. And when we started this podcast 7 years ago, Stu, I never thought I would say two things that I'm going to say in the course of this podcast very shortly. One, we're about to preview Ipswich Town in the Premier League. Two, and this is where we're going to start, Ipswich Town are about to sign an England international, a man who's just cost £42 million. And he's picked Ipswich Town over other Premier League sides. Calvin Phillips, my friend. Obviously, we're going to start with the sexy stuff before we get on to the predictions. Formerly, starting for England in the Euro final, Euro 2021, wasn't it? Now looking to rejuvenate his career. And what better place, he thinks, than to do it under Kieran McKenna and Ipswich Town?
Surreal is a word we keep using quite a bit and have done for the last few months. And I think this is another prime example of that. I think the picture from, I think it was four summer transfer windows ago, where slightly sad image of Stephen Ward, Ollie Hawkins and David Cornell socially distanced at the training ground. That was the sum total of Ipswich's transfer business that summer. As we came out the back of COVID, Ipswich were kind of languishing in League One, stuck in the quicksands of League One. If you'd have said then that 4 years later, Ipswich would be signing Calvin Phillips, you'd have laughed, wouldn't you? So it's often said in football that things can change very quickly. It doesn't feel like it when you're in the midst of a rut like that. And we'd been hoping and hoping for years it would turn for Ipswich. And yes, here we are, as if it wasn't already surreal enough to be preparing for Liverpool. This Calvin Phillips signing, I think, you know, was one when the name first come up, it was a natural reaction to go, that's a bit ambitious. That might be out of Ipswich's reach. But he's here, he's in Suffolk, and we're expecting it to be announced imminently.
Yeah, and also another reminder of where we are now, in that Sky Sports were showing him arriving at the training ground last night, which no one was that interested when Stephen Ward rocked up all those years ago, were there? No one was there filming that. So that's what it is then, Stu. So a loan signing we're expecting today.
Aaron Drynan didn't get that treatment, did he?
He should have done. I was there with my camera. But yeah, so we're expecting that to be done today, which we sit here, was it, just gone 9:30 on Friday morning.
Yeah, you've mentioned the Sky cameras already. That's He's pictured, he's here, he's so barring any late problems, which we hope won't be the case, then he'll be an Ipswich Town player, yeah.
Right, I should say we're going to shoot through this transfer stuff, because otherwise we'll be talking about it for 45 minutes before we even get to the previews. And if you want to hear Ross and AJ talk about transfers, then you can go back and watch a Transfer Talk video, which they did yesterday. There is one question I had specifically for you, though, AJ, which has come from a listener whose name I can't remember, and that's very poor of me. I should have written it down. But he said, I want to hear from AJ, who obviously watches West Ham a lot, about what happened with Calvin Phillips at West Ham. We have a West Ham fan in our morning conference. I was getting very excited about Calvin Phillips yesterday. He was rubbish at West Ham. So give us some insight. What went wrong there?
Yeah, interesting one. This one, because when he signed in January, I think there was quite a bit of excitement of, oh, that's a good player. He cost £42 million a few years ago. But also a lot of West Ham fans thinking, I have no idea where he fits in. Because in the team you had Alvarez, and then you had Suchek, and then you had Ward-Prowse, all of whom are quite highly rated midfielders in the team. It wasn't an area they really need to strengthen. He almost came in to do a bit of the James, not James, to do the Flynn Downs role and almost just kind of play behind some of those and then come in when needed, when players were suspended. And I think that it was probably the worst possible club for him to come in terms of the direction. There was a lot of kind of discontent with David Moyes. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Results were bad. Football wasn't wonderful as well. This is someone who likes high pressing, intense football, like he got used to under Marcelo Bielsa. And David Moyes is essentially the polar opposite of that. So it didn't suit him. He was clearly frustrated. You can go back and look at the mistakes he's made. Also, not kind of forgetting that he hadn't played really any football at that point, was just thrown in. Red cards. The fans turned on him because the kind of atmosphere at the club anyway wasn't great. His reaction to that, I think, wasn't well received. You would have seen bits of him giving a middle finger to the West Ham fans. There are some kind of off-the-record comments from some of the coaches saying he wasn't training well and wasn't playing well. But I think it was just about being in the wrong environment at the wrong time. Whereas coming into Ipswich, he's coming to a club with a lot of positive momentum, coming into a manager who knows how to get players who have struggled to enjoy their football to love the game again. So that's what ticks all the boxes that essentially were wrong at West Ham. And yeah, I think that he probably would have learned a lot from that experience as well. He's not blameless in it, but it was a lot of things that went against him in that spell.
Yeah, you'd back Kieran McKenna certainly to get the best out of him, wouldn't you, at Portman Road? Mm-hmm. And the idea of him and Morsy in midfield is a very, very spicy meatball indeed. We should also mention, we're recording this at what we quarter to 10 now it is. If things happen, i.e. if signings are announced, Stu is going to have to dip out and go dark for a while he updates the web, etc. He's operating a two-screen system. He's got multiple phones. He's got his ear to the ground. So if that happens, we'll have it live, and then Stu will vanish and will return triumphantly to us talking about football. The other one that might happen today, Stu, which you broke last night, Sammy Smodix, the pleasingly illiterate Sammy Smodix saga. Looks like it's finally coming to an end. A fee's been agreed, which has been the sticking point, and it looks like he might be on his way to Suffolk as well.
Yeah. It's been, I think, over 3 weeks since Ipswich had that initial £6 million bid, we believe, knocked back. We've talked about it on this pod before, that both ends are giving slightly different sides to the story as to why it's dragged on, but we finally reached a conclusion. A deal has been thrashed out just hours after John Eustace was talking about him being hopeful of Smodix being involved in a championship trip to Norwich this weekend. But yeah, breakthrough at last. We believe the fee is around £9 million with add-ons, and a much-needed body at the top end of the pitch for Ipswich Town. That's part of the team with Broadhead and Hurst injuries. Was looking a bit thin going into the opener. But yeah, Smodix, Colchester boy, former Colchester player, former Peterborough player back in the Eastern region.
Indeed. Rossi, just because you've not said anything yet, I'm going to ask you about Sammy Smodix. £9 million for Sammy Smodix, a man who's had one excellent season in the Championship and is now stepping up into the Premier League with Ipswich Town. How do you feel about that?
I don't mind it. At first, you're like thinking he's a one-season wonder. But I do like him as a player because I think I could say this. He's a shithouse, isn't he? And yeah, I think he'll sort of, he's like Connor Chaplin in a way, a little bit bigger than, you know, Connor Chaplin, because obviously Chappers, bless him, he's not very big, is he? But yeah, I do like this signing though, and I think this is an opportunity for him to step up to the Premier League for the first time. So yeah, it's been rumbling on for 6 weeks, something like that, hasn't it? It's been a long saga, as you mentioned. So yeah, I know Town fans are excited about it because they wanted signings and they've got two in the space of, you know, 24 hours. First day, boys, yesterday. Oh, what a day.
Yeah, it's not going to be much quieter today, I don't think.
I have a question for Ross here, just quickly. You have a very particular thing with ages. How do you feel about signing a player who will be 29 in just over a month's time?
Do you know what, boys? I've got to get rid of that now. I just want to put a big,
because you're almost 30.
Yeah, that's pretty much why. And also Sam Morsy is, you know, 32, 33, I think, soon. So, and you know, he's a beautiful man and he's fantastic. So I need to stop doing the ageist thing because I'm nearly 30 myself.
Yeah, you're going to have to kick yourself out the door. Sammy Smolik's 9 million. I'm not sure. I'll be honest. We'll see how that one plays out. A couple of others, potential, Stewie, which again, you reported on yesterday. Striker from Chelsea. And again, another thing I never really thought I'd be saying, Ipswich Town involved in a deal for a Napoli midfielder.
Yeah, this was before the Phillips stuff kind of came to a head and blew up. Jens Kajuste, we think it's a silent J in there, a Swedish international midfielder at Napoli at the moment. Didn't know loads about him, went into a YouTube rabbit hole. I've watched a 5-minute video of him yesterday. Most of it was slide tackles, and that's fine by me.
Yeah, you're into that.
Tigerish. He looks like he's quite athletic, bit of a destroyer. And then when he gets the ball, there's some little neat footworks and drives up the pitch. So he looks like a modern day athletic central midfielder, which is qualities that we've said that we think that maybe the team might need in the top flight. The question now is, do they need another central midfielder? Yeah. Will they do him on top of Phillips? The talks are really advanced. So I think they've just got to decide now whether they want to do it or not. Obviously, we've got Phillips, Morsi, Luongo, Jack Taylor, and that's discounting Cameron Humphreys, who currently is injured, but will almost certainly go out on loan when he's fit. So do they need another central midfielder? Do the funds need to be kind of put further up the pitch towards striker? Probably. Wait and see. Watch this space on that one.
I suppose we should mention on the Phillips thing, clearly we're trying to race through things, but one of the reasons, I guess, when we all saw the initial link, we thought, very ambitious, would be wages. Clearly he's going to be on a massive wage.
Loan fee as well.
Yeah.
Been various figures bandied about. We talked about in the piece I did yesterday, beating Everton and Fulham to his signing, and the timeline was full of lots of Everton and Fulham fans saying, no, we didn't want to spend that much loan fee on him. I don't know the exact figures involved, but to get a player of his pedigree, it's going to be costly just because it's a loan.
But City are picking up some of his wages is the point I'm making. It's not like Town are going to be.
I would imagine more. So. I mean, I think the reports was that West Ham were paying his full wedge last season. I don't know the truth in that, but yeah, honestly, I can't tell you at this moment in time what the percentage will be in terms of his wages, but I think we're on safe grounds to say that, you know, it's not going to be a cheap deal this for Ipswich. So it does come with risk. He is a player that hasn't played a great deal of football since joining City in 2022, but we hope that the environment, the manager, the fan base, the momentum, all of that will bring the best out in him again. And, if it comes off, it could be a real coup.
Absolutely. It's a real coup, a real statement of intent if it does happen. And obviously we're expecting it to happen in the next few hours. One final link then, Stu, before we get onto the prediction stuff. Striker from Chelsea, Armando Broja. What can you tell us about this one?
Chelsea, he's out of the picture at Chelsea. He's had his squad number taken off of him. That's been reassigned to new signing Neto. Come through the youth ranks at Chelsea. Never quite been able to nail down a starting spot, but nevertheless is a highly rated centre forward. Had a loan spell in the Premier League with Southampton a few years ago, scored a few goals for them, finished last season on loan at Fulham, struggled for game time there, mainly because of the form of others. Chelsea have made him available. Ipswich have expressed an interest. I think the sticking point here would be persuading the player to come. He's been linked to all sorts of clubs right across Europe this summer, most notably AC Milan when he was away at the Euros with Albania. He was talking about, he's being asked about potentially going to AC. And so maybe he's had to kind of recalibrate where he might end up. By no means close this one. Still a lot of work to do, but certainly he's available. Ipswich have expressed an interest. We know, striker is still an area that Ipswich need and want to add to. So this is one that I think could go on sort of nearer towards the end of the window at the end of the month.
Okay, right. Sexy stuff done. Two potentially in the door today. Exciting times at Ipswich Town. Two more things to mention very quickly before we get onto the preview. Number one, Rossi, because you're wearing the blackout kit coming to you on this one. Ipswich Town, finally, praise Jesus, hallelujah, gave me a pink kit last week, the third kit. Predictably, I love it. I know it was more divisive than we used to with recent kits. You could argue it's quite busy. Rossi, what do you make of it being the fashion icon among all four of us?
Fashion icon. I'll take that. It's fine. Yeah, you know, I don't mind pink. I've got a few pink shirts myself, but it's maybe too pink, if you know what I mean. I don't mind like the pink goalie kit this year, but that's just, for me, that's just too pink. Once again, I actually haven't seen it in person yet, because once again, the home kit, I didn't really like, but now it's grown on me. Every time I see it in person, and obviously the players wearing it the last few preseason games, it's grown on me. So the pink shirt, I think, will be a grower for me as well, but I already know a lot of people bought it. My mum wants it, so, you know, I don't think she will listen to this, but I'm going to get her one just for a nice little present. So,
Can you get mum on the back of it as well? Like the name?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. No. That's a shame. I'm going to say, I'm actually the opposite, Ross. I wish it was pinker. I wanted it to be electric pink. I had a polo shirt once, which I absolutely loved, which was so pink you could see me from space. And that's how bright I wanted the town pink shirt to be. But I can't complain. They finally give me a pink shirt. I'm very much for it. So, Rossi, you're this, are you? I'm definitely this. Stewie and AJ, what are you? Are you thumbs up or thumbs down or thumbs in the middle? Just give us a... AJ's thumbs in the middle. What are you, Stew?
Yeah, I'm thumbs
yes.
up. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it could well be my daughter's first football shirt. She went into town the other day and saw a lot of people wearing it and has expressed an interest. We were on holiday recently and she wanted the messy pink Into Miami shirt. I said, hold fire, there might be another pink one on its way. So, yeah, it's great. I like all the little Suffolk nods. I know there's a debate about it not really being Suffolk pink, which is probably fair, but they have said it's a nod to Suffolk pink. And I like all the... It's bespoke. For years, we've been talking about these off-the-peg templated shirts. You know, bit of, you know, with the sound waves from the Portman Road crowd and the Suffolk coastline and Framlingham Castle and Wolsey Gate and all these various different things integrated in it. I like it. It's good.
Third kit should be wildly different, I think. You can have a bit of fun with third kit. So, again, I'm a big fan of it. Right, then, one more thing, which is, again, linked to the third kit, Stewie. Something else you wrote about yesterday. You had a very busy day yesterday. Ed Sheeran, who sponsors kits, came up with that third kit. Now he owns part of the club, mate. Just dropped a casual 3 milli, 1% of the club. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, we think... Little insight, Mark and I had a phone call last night where the hive mind of two people used to dealing with words had to struggle with some maths. So we were trying to work out if the new investors bought 44% of the club. This is like a GCSE maths question for £105 million. How much is Ed Sheeran's 1.4% stake? We think it's around 3 million, 3.3 million, around that sort of figure. Well, that will put his sort of stake at. The club and Ed were very keen to sort of point out that this is a passive investment. He's not on the board. He's not going to be actively involved. To me, I think this is probably a bit of a thank you from Ipswich back to Ed. He's sponsored the club, front of shirt sponsorship, obviously, for 2 years. Let's be honest. He's probably not got a great deal out of that, has he? That's just been something that he's wanted to do. He didn't need the exposure from Ipswich Town when they were in League One and he's travelling the globe on tour. So now Ipswich have got to this point. This is probably, you know, now you can get a little something back from it. If the club continues to take off, he'll make some money. And it will incentivise him to do more as well, because the better Ipswich are, he now, you know, he's got a little bit more skin in the game as well. So... it's great. It's, you know, as we said before, it's manna from heaven that Ed's kind of fallen into their lap the way he has in recent years.
Absolutely. One day we'll get Ed Sheeran on this very podcast. I'm sure of it. I bet he listens anyway. Right then, friends, that brings us on to the great preview. So we're going to do it. Going to use this hat, Kings of Anglia trucker cap, available online in our merch store. Our bestseller, actually, come think of it. I'm going to use this hat. I've got various categories. They're all here. I'm going to let the hat of truth decide what we talk about. So in here, we've got top scorer, MVP, surprise package, who's going to win the league, who's going to be top four, who's going to be relegated. There is one, which I'm not putting in, because that's the one we're going to talk about at the end. That's this one, which, of course, is probably the key question. Town will finish. And I don't want the hat to ruin the narrative by pulling that out early. That's got to be the last one. That's not going in the hat. The rest of them are. So I'm going to shake them up now, and we're going to see what we talk about. You excited, boys? I can tell you are. Stu just checking his second screen. Any news, Stu?
Little drum roll. Doesn't look like it.
Okay. Here we go. Right. First question that we're going to talk about. And we're going to start with Alex. Top scorer and how many?
Yeah. This one, as I wrote in the piece, probably hinges on a move that looks likely to happen today, which concerns me a little bit with the pick that I've written down, which is Connor Chaplin and eight. For starters, let's talk on Chaplin first. I think that in a normal kind of in the system that we've been thinking about for most of this week, he's going to be getting lots of minutes and he gets into all the good areas. He gets into lots of pockets. He's difficult to mark because he just finds all the great space. It's exactly what we know from the last couple of years. He's a fantastic finisher. He wins headers for some reason. There's a bit of everything in there. Essentially, when you look through his goal scoring tallies, it just gets a little bit lower every year because he's going up the ranks, but he's always towards the top of the team. I think the goals will be spread out again really nicely. So I just think it's going to be a continuation of what we've seen, essentially, starting off at, what was it, in League One, high 20s, then going to kind of the teens, now probably in single figures, which would be a really good return for a first Premier League season. My concern with picking him is, does a prospective move for Sammy Smodic change his game time? Have to wait and see in terms of where all these attacking players fit in. But yeah, I'll stick with Connor Chaplin. 8 goals, that's why I'd written down. Just continues the trend.
Okay, I'll dive in here. I agree with you, AJ. Connor Chaplin, for all the reasons you just mentioned, he's been the leading scorer the last two seasons. Why go away from him? It'd be fascinated to see if he can still find his pockets of space in the Premier League, the thing that he's so good at. But I'm going to go one better than you. I'm going to say 9. So AJ's saying Connor Chaplin 8. I'm saying 9. Rossi, who have you got and what are you saying?
Now, Kieran McKenna's team, striker-wise, they're not always top goal scorer, are they? Because obviously the goals get spread about. But I have gone for Liam Delap because there's just something about him I really like. The preseason game so far, he's just a nuisance and he just whacks in defenders. I know he's making a step up for the first time in the Premier League. I think he made a few appearances for Man City. But I just think he's going to be there for rebounds and stuff. So also his phone's going off. 12 goals I've gone though, because that's my favourite number. And double figures, why not?
12 is your favourite number, Liam Delap. Stu, was that the bat phone going off? You didn't answer it, so I'm assuming it's...
Some related.
Okay, excellent.
Custard pie, it's all right.
Excellent. Stewie, what are you saying then? So we've got Liam Delap 12, Connor Chaplin 8 and 9. What are you saying?
I felt bad going away from Connor because, as Alex points out, he has been the main man for the last 2 years. And I still think, even with Smodic arriving, he'll play the bulk of the games. But I've gone for Amari, just based on the way that he finished last season on absolute fire. And he's got that sort of ice cool, unflustered look about him that this is where I'm meant to be. And, you know, from day one, he, in a very understated way, just sort of slipped in there that, yeah, I want to be a world-class player when we were talking to him in press conferences. And we'll see how it all shakes out in the transfer window. Smodic arrives, maybe a striker arrives at some point. It's hard to know at this moment in time what that kind of front four will look like. But there's a chance Amari ends up in that number 10 role ultimately. And if he does, I think he'll be setting himself a target of what he did last year, which was 10 goals. And that's going to be a tough ask. I don't want to get too geeky on you, but I had a little look back through last season and there's not many players in bottom half sides that get to double digits. It was and the ones that did were kind of out and out strikers, Solanke, Chris Wood, Wisser at Brentford, the two guys up front for Luton. They obviously played a slightly different system. So for a kind of a support forward to get 10 goals for Ipswich is a big ask. But I've gone for it. I've gone for Amari and 10 goals.
I like it. We've got Amari, 10 goals. Liam Delap, 12 goals. Connor Chaplin, 8 and 9 goals. We're up and running in this preview. What's going to be next? He shakes the hat. Ah, it's this one. Mark's surprise question, which is obviously I haven't told you about. Right then, friends, it's very simple. Ipswich Town are going to play 3 games before the first international break of the season. Liverpool at home, Man City away, Fulham at home. After those 3 games are completed, how many points are Ipswich Town going to have? Alex.
Oh, my God. 4.
How are they going to be made up then? Beat Fulham, get a draw against Liverpool.
Well, you're already kind of preempting where I'm going for predictions-wise. So, yes, I'm going draw Liverpool in a very much head v heart situation, going with the heart there to all. Literally just giving my prediction away there, yeah. City away, less said the better. And then, yeah, I'm confident that they'll be able to regroup from whatever happens at the Etihad and get something from that Fulham game. So, yeah, why not? We'll go 4. It sounds ambitious. Now I've said it out loud, but I'll stick with it.
Okay, 4 points. Stewie.
Oh, this is a horrible question.
Come on, say it, Stu. Just be honest.
3.
So that's made up of what? Defeats to Liverpool and City and beating Fulham. Is that how you're doing it?
Probably. I toyed with saying 2. They might be able to get a draw on the opening day. City's a write-off, let's be honest. And then I think Fulham is not to be underestimated under Marco Silva as well. Remember how good they were in the League Cup? At our place last season. I really don't know, Mark. This is complete unknown, but I'll go with 3, which feels quite positive.
I'm not going to hold you to it, mate. It's an unknown for all of us. We don't know. It's just a bit of fun. So 3, 4, Rossi, what are you saying?
Oh, yeah, it is a hard question, this. Not a nice surprise. You know, I don't mind surprises, but this is Man City is going to be an interesting one. Really is. It could go either way.
Interesting is an interesting term for that game.
Yeah, true. I have been thinking, though. I think the Liverpool game, I think we could just nick a point there. Oh, no, at home, we're at home. So a point there, yeah, Man City. And as Stu said, I think Fulham, you can't underestimate them at all because they're a decent team. Obviously, we played them last year. I know it's a cup game. Anything can happen. So I think we're going to draw that. I think we're only going to get 2 points, boys. I know that sounds very negative, but I think Fulham will be a tough game. So, yeah, 2 points.
They're all tough games.
2 points. I think that would be a good, solid start to life back in the Premier League. You've played 3 games and you've only lost 1 of them. We're talking, there's going to be quite a bit of recalibration of what's good this season. We've been used to seeing a side that certainly don't lose and win a lot. And it's going to take both for the fans, for us as media / pundits, for the players, a sort of a real change in mindset to kind of how to deal with any disappointments that come. And so I think 2 points would be okay, to be honest. Well, more than okay from the opening 3. But obviously, you know, we hope for more and there's a bit of a surprise package element and the crowd and everything can play their part. So we'll see.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? That bit that McKenna did, I think it was with TNT Sports, where he says, I've not lost back-to-back league games in the time we've been here. And that's probably going to happen this season. I mean, let's be honest, it is going to happen.
Well, Ipswich have lost 10 league games in the last 2 years. Aston Villa lost 10 league games last year and they qualified Champions League.
Ding, ding, ding. Great stat. Right, I'm saying no points. Excellent. Let's move on. I'm joking. I think it'll either be 1 or 3. I don't think they're going to beat Liverpool. I probably don't think they're going to get a draw. They definitely ain't going to get anything at Man City. So then it's whether or not they beat Fulham or get a draw, I think. I would like to think they can beat Fulham, but we're in a whole new ball game now. And I keep coming back to the point when I said to you last year, if they played Fulham beat them. I said, well, is that maybe the blueprint for beating Town? And you just went, well, maybe. But to be honest, mate, they're just better players. And that's essentially what we're going into, isn't it? They're just better players. Or everywhere you look in the Premier League, the players are really, really good. So until we see Town up against them, we just don't know, do we? Yes, Ross, you put your hand up.
Of course, we hope we're wrong and they win all three games. But yeah, it's got to be realistic.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, mate. No. But I appreciate you getting the balance line in there. Yeah. Obviously, we want them to win all three. But friends, if you think that's going to happen, I've got some magic beans to sell you. All right, next one. It's another biggie. MVP. And I know from reading all of our previews already, predictions that went out yesterday, we all agree on this one. So, Stu, you tell us why you think the consensus pick will be the MVP. It's no surprise, really, is who we've all gone for.
We all say the same thing about super skipper Sammy Morsy every single time, don't we? Mm. Beating heart of the team, leader on and off the pitch. I think sort of my reasoning was that he's going to be an extension of Kieran McKenna on the pitch. Tactically, they're going to have to be smarter than ever and make sort of in-game decisions, feel the way a game is going and know when to drop into a low block, know when the time is to be a bit more adventurous. And Sam might be the one that has to kind of intuitively make that decision and up and lower the tempo and things like that within games. Off the pitch, he's going to be massive in, as we've said, sort of maybe how the group sort of handles setbacks and defeats along the way, of which there is going to be some. And just obviously, you know, not overlooking the fact that he's a driving force in the side and everything that he brings to the team as well. So, a potential partnership with Calvin Phillips is going to be really interesting. Sam Morsy.
Right. I'm not going to bother with the rest of us for that because we all agree, Sam Morsy. No one's going to say anything else, any other reasons. Just please stay fit, Sam, and don't get too many yellow cards. Thank you very much. Right. What have we got on here? Okay. I'm not spending too long talking about this. Top four. AJ, I'm going to come to you. At 7 o'clock tonight, you are dropping your entire 1 to 20 Premier League predictions, key players for each side, and why you think they're going to finish in that position. So you give us your top four.
This is kind of giving the word. Do we have a title winner card?
We do. It's in there. That's the peril of letting the hat choose, yeah, my friends. So you just go with the top four and maybe wait for the champions to talk about that.
You know what? I will tell you my champions as well. I'll talk about them in a little bit depth when we pull it out. Mm. I've got Arsenal to win the league. I've got City to finish second because I think that there's just a few dark clouds lingering over the Etihad with all the charges, let's be honest, and players coming out. Pep, is he that motivated anymore? That's kind of what makes him a top manager. Not too sure. Liverpool in third because despite all the transition stuff, I still think their squad is ridiculous. And Spurs in fourth, essentially, because I don't really think that the teams at the very top are as good as we've seen in recent years. And I think they'll just open the door for a team that's like, all right, pretty good, not wonderful, to get in there. And I think Spurs will do that with Solanke scoring a lot. And hopefully, if they're going to do it, you'd want them to concede a few less. So that'll be my four: Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Spurs, in that order.
Ross, what's your top four?
I had to double check what I actually picked.
Yeah, I saw you looking at your phone.
So I was like,
what did I say?
What did I say? I know someone's not very happy. Liam from Crew, he messaged me and said he wasn't happy about a particular pick. But yeah, I've gone pretty much like AJ. Arsenal, Man City, Spurs, Liverpool.
You got Spurs third?
No, I haven't gotten third. I've just said it because that's just what came to my mind. But I think, yeah, Spurs under Ange, just something about them. I think they may just sneak in there. I think it'll be end of season battle, the last game of the season where, you know, who will finish in the fourth spot. But yeah, those are my four.
Okay, I'm looking forward to talking about Arsenal winning the league when we get onto the champions. Stewie, I think you've got the same in terms of your league winner. What's your top four?
Arsenal, City, top two. It's pretty predictable, isn't it, that it's going to be those two battling for the title. Liverpool, obviously a bit unknown with Arnie Slot, but have kept the majority of their squad. I think that they're strong enough to still be in that top three. And then I think it's probably a case of one other. I think Villa maybe might have a little drop off with trying to deal with Champions League football and the extra fixtures that come with that this year. So I think it might be one that's maybe not in Europe that will improve this year. I've gone with Chelsea, but I can see the argument for Spurs. I could see the argument for Man United. I think there's a few people sleeping on United at the moment. A lot of injuries last season. But I've gone with Chelsea and Maresca getting a tune out of them.
Maresca's going to be sacked by October, mate. No chance. I'm saying City top. City going to win. That's five times in a row. You say, well, we'll talk about this in a minute. Who is it? Arsenal second, Liverpool third, and I've got Man United fourth. Basically, on the fact that sometime they've got to come good, you'd think. They can't be rubbish forever. Ten Hag's survived. They've got some good young players. Is this his Fergie moment? I realise it's been said a lot, but I'm going Man United just for fun, friends. All right, let's do another one. Oh, okay. Are we all right, Stu? I can hear you tapping away. Is there something happening?
No, you're all good.
Excellent. Ross's hot take. Now, it seems to have taken Ross by surprise. I'm hoping he's remembered he needed a hot take because I did put it in the chat. I said I wanted a hot take so hot it was dangerous to stand near. And Ross has forgotten. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
And I've not forgotten. I don't know. I thought it was just going to be a whole... I feel like I've got pressure now. Everyone's looking at me, waiting for me to drop.
You can't have Gwyn Edwards being the top scorer again.
Damn it. Do you know what? And this actually helps out Stu and AJ for their top goal scorer. Just Stu, yeah. Not Stu, because he went on Murray Hutchinson. Did you go Chaplin?
I did, mate, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm listening. I think Connor Chaplin's going to score a hat-trick at some point this season.
Oh, woof. Hat-trick. A Why Premier not? League hat-trick. And that would, I mean, Alex said eight goals. I said nine goals. So that would be a large percentage of those goals. Connor Chaplin hat-trick. I like it, Rossi. Yeah.
Did he get one last season?
He did not.
No.
He got the one.
I'm sure season. Mark had that as a hot take last season.
I did
season.
Have it a hot take. I had it in our half season preview show.
He went through a phase of getting a load of braces, didn't he? And then finally got one. I think that was in the League One season, wasn't it? Back end of that Charlton game, maybe?
But yeah,
I
got one in the show. Yeah.
Big show.
Right, next one. Mark's hot take. Friends, I don't get much right, but the last few seasons, my hot takes have been spot on. Obviously, I was the one who told you Town would be top last season. They duly were. Before that, I said they'd be in the bottom half after demolition summer. They were. And then I said they'd never be out of the top half. They weren't. But I'm not going with Town are going to be top of the Premier League, friends. Sorry. I'm going with two hot takes themed around that number two. Two. Ipswich Town will have two players picked for England this season. Calvin Phillips, Leif Davis. Two. Ipswich Town are going to beat two of the top eight sides this season, the big eight. And what I really think, I'll say it anyway, I think Ipswich Town are going to beat Man United this season. That's what I'm going with. Kieran McKenna will want to beat Man United this season. He knows everything about Man United. I think they're going to beat Man United this season. And I think they'll beat one other of the big eight sides. So hopefully we'll know who those are. Top four have already considered. So you've got Man United, Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, Newcastle, Villa. Two of those eight, Ipswich Town are going to beat this season. That's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to it. I've got an excellent track record in hot takes, if nothing else. So look forward to that and get some money on Leif Davis getting picked up for England. I think we'd all say that anyway. Oh, my God. The hat is really throwing up some spicy choices now. It wants a Stew hot take next.
Ipswich Town's first goal of the season will be scored by a defender.
Ooh, I like it. And of course, this is a point last season where you and AJ got quite bogged down in the right back situation.
We did.
So you're saying a defender. Would you like to say who, or are you just leaving that as a kind of ambiguous? You don't have to say who. You can say it's not.
Tell me which two teams that Ipswich are going to be in the top eight. Let's not get bogged down in details.
Well, okay? Man United won.
Yeah.
And
more away.
Home.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other one I would say would be Aston Vanilla.
Okay. Nice.
There we go. So you tell me which defender's going to score.
Okay, fair. Leif Davis.
Yes, I like it. From a free kick, from open play.
from open play.
Getting really, really specific now.
What minute?
Yeah, what minute? How would he celebrate?
This is kind of based largely on sort of memories of the Man United home game, the first home game when Ipswich got promoted back to... maybe I'm trying to sort of manifest that happening again, that Sir Alex Ferguson came away from that game sort of waxing lyrical about how boisterous and noisy the Portman Road crowd was, and could there be a similar feel to the game on Saturday? And maybe I'm just sort of picturing a defender running through like Fabian Wilnes to score.
Imagine if Leaf scored 35 yards on Saturday, 5 minutes in.
Just doesn't have season, to though. Be Leaf, though. I did say defender. It could be a bullet headed from a corner. It could be anything. I've just got a feel.
I like it. Right then, some hot takes. Now we're going on to the dark horse. So who do you reckon might surprise? Maybe a team that pushes into that big eight this season. Rossi, who are you saying?
Sorry, say that again, sorry. So there's a massive drill outside.
Have you forgotten who you've put for this? You should remember now. Dark horse, mate. So we're saying the team that's going to surprise people.
This one is a dangerous one, because if they do sell them players, then they're buggered. But I've gone Crystal Palace. Because they had a really good end the last season with their new manager. I know they've sold Marco Elise. I know Gay's been linked to Newcastle and stuff, and maybe Eze will go. But I just like them as a team. They've got a young team. They've got some good players. They've got Mateta up front, who scored a lot of goals last year. So just something about Crystal Palace. I think they just do well. So and I've seen a lot of people, I'm not saying I'm copying, but I've seen a lot of people predict them in the top half. But I just like them as a team. So, and as I said, they had a good end of last season. So, I think they'll do right.
Well, I am copying and I'm saying Crystal Palace, because I've read loads of people saying they're going to be good this season, and that's what I'm going for. So I reckon they might be... my analysis is, friends, they might be in the top eight. There we go. AJ, who's your dark horse?
Had three in mind. Palace was one. Kind of went against that because it just felt a bit boring, to be honest, and they won about 9 million fired. Games.
I didn't ask you for three, AJ. I just asked for one.
I know. There's another one which has been picked by Stu, which I thought about, but they've been in Europe recently, and I kind of felt I couldn't. So I went with Bournemouth. Even though they've lost Dominic Solanke, I like the manager. He did really well in Spain with a very low budget. They're about to sign a striker for about 50 million or something in that region. A nice kind of good core there. I think that kind of these teams where you can play on narrow pitches, small grounds, can often rock a lot of big sides. And just think that the continuity, the way they've grown, really good backing from the US. I think that they'll continue to grow, and can see them pushing towards the top half of the table.
Okay. AJ saying Bournemouth. He's told me and Ross that we're boring, saying Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Stu, who are you saying?
I've gone with West Ham. I think the fans there are going to be, we're very split over Moyes. It felt like the sort of the end of Mick McCarthy days there, and they're going to be united behind Lopetegui, managed in the Prem with Wolves, former Spain Real Madrid manager, and what he's building in the transfer market is intriguing me at the moment with Füllkrug, bit of an old fashioned number nine that you don't see that often these days, the German international, and he's going to be kind of fed by Bowen, Kudus, Paqueta, Somerville they've signed. And then defensively, they've just signed the centre-half from Nice for a ton of money, Wan-Bissaka from Man United. So, it might take a little while to bed in, but I'm intrigued by what West Ham are doing, so I've gone with them.
West Ham, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace times two. I like this, boys. Like I say, keep this energy. We're getting through this. A good crack. Next one. Best summer signing, brackets, so far. Right. I'll accept two answers on this, if indeed you want to give two. You can give me the best summer signing so far as we sit here at 10:22 a.m. on Friday, August 16th. And you can also, I'll allow you, if you wish, to add in Smodix and Phillips into that and give me your take, if indeed that would change your take on that. AJ.
As we sit here at 10:22 a.m, Omari Hutchinson, because we would all be gutted if he had not signed. We would still, even with all the positivity around the transfer market, probably still be a little bit disappointed if he was not through the door. And he is, and his ceiling's really high, and he was signed for, you know, I'd say still pretty decent fee, Premier League kind of ready-made, all those different things. Adding in the other two, you can't look past Calvin Phillips, can you? Like, aside from like the kind of the player and the profile and all that, the background of who he is, the fact he's an England international, the fact that it kind of brings a lot of attention to the club as well. I know that might sound a little bit strange, but it is also about the kind of profile that they're bringing in. It sends a bit of a message of this is not a team that's here to make up the numbers, which is a message that can probably wrongly be sent by signing players predominantly from the Championship, going out and getting someone that's won the Champions League and the Premier League and has 31 England caps and has been the England Player of the Year, all these different things. So, yeah, as a statement signing, obviously we'll have to wait to see how he gets on the pitch, but as a statement, definitely Calvin Phillips tops that by a significant way.
Excellent. So Calvin Phillips, if he walks through the door today, it's best summer signing. As it stands, Amari Hutchinson. Apologies if you can hear Benson going mad. The shopping has just turned up. And I'm going to get it right in the neck later on for my wife for not helping. She'll say, you were on your bloody stupid podcast, didn't help me. I'll be in the doghouse, boys. But it's worth it, friends, for this. It's worth it. Ross, who are you saying? Best summer signing so far. And indeed, if Phillips and Smodic sign.
I don't know why. Some people message him. I really like him. Liam Delap. Now, I hope he doesn't get injured. I've not jinxed him. But I just like him. I like him as a player. I hope he's leading the line. Because if not, then obviously George Hurst's injury is disappointing. But I just like Liam Delap as a player. I know it's a risk. We've spent a lot of money. He's once again not proven in the Premier League. But just something about him. I think he may do something interesting this year. So, yeah, Liam Delap.
Sticking with him even if Phillips signs?
Yeah, Phillips is great. But, you know, we don't know how he's going to get on. Just like Delap. So both Man City. Well, Man City players. Or obviously Delap. No, Phillips is still a Man City player, obviously, because he's online. But... yeah, no, I'll leave it for the boys to mention Phillips.
Okay, right. I'm going to go mine now because mine's a bit of a cop-out, but I believe it's true. It's the same route that Stu went down last year. Best summer signing, Kieran McKenna. If Kieran McKenna had left, none of what we're talking about probably happens. I don't think Amari Hutchinson comes back. They probably, almost certainly, aren't talking about signing Calvin Phillips. He is the key to everything, friends. And getting him remaining at Town, for me, is the best signing of the summer, regardless of what else they do, even if they do. When they do sign Calvin Phillips and whoever else comes through that door, a lot of that will be down to the manager. So I'm saying Kenner, and I do accept this cop out, but stick it up your backside. I'm sticking with that. Are we still going?
We're still going.
Excellent. I froze there for a moment. The wife probably turned the Wi-Fi off. Stu, what are you saying?
I couldn't play the Kieran McKenna card again, but that is the correct answer.
That is the correct answer, yeah.
Maybe I'm being a bit contrary here. Maybe I'm trying to sort of go out of my way to be a little bit different to everybody else. But if Smodic and Phillips come in, that will take it to 8 signings. But I've gone for the one that cost nothing, the one who arrived on a Bosman, and that's Ben Johnson. Phillips could go one of two ways. He will either completely reignite his career and it will be brilliant, or it does have the potential to go wrong, though, these kind of big name signings where we've seen people like Lingard and Dele Alli kind of fade away a little bit. I hope that's not the case with Phillips. I do think that this could be a match made in heaven. But of the ones that I think are kind of that I'm most confident is nailed on to just be a really solid success for Ipswich is Ben Johnson. And I think it's an area of the team that really needed looking at. With Harry Clark's surgery and Axel Tuanzebe, that not being his most natural position. And I think he'll pretty much play every game, injuries aside. And I think he's going to add some qualities in terms of athleticism on the pitch. And I think he's going to be a really good fit, personality and character eyes off it as well. So we'll wait and see where he plays. If he plays the sort of wing-back role that we saw against Nice last weekend, or if it's more of a tucked-in right-back, we'll wait and see. But I'll go with Ben Johnson.
Excellent. So we've got Ben Johnson, we've got Kieran McKenna, we've got Liam Delap, and we've got Amari Hutchinson / Calvin Phillips. Right then, my favourite award. It's a memorial award. It's a surprise package. Aaron Drynan, A Drizzy Memorial Award. Because obviously 7 years ago when we started this podcast and we did this very show, Stu, my surprise package pick was Aaron Drynan, and you and Andy started giggling like schoolgirls and then told me he just signed on loan for someone else, which made me look
Sutton or someone like that.
Proper idiot. And some would say that's been the theme throughout that 7 years, me looking like an idiot. My wife would certainly say that right now. I'm going to say, friends, I'm going to kick off with this because it's my award. I'm going to say Axel Tuanzebe, because for all the talk of Jacob Greaves coming in and Greaves and Wolfenden being the starters at centre-back, I think he's been a little bit overlooked and maybe a little bit disrespected given his pedigree and the quality of player he is. And I think we may see him start more times than we think before the end of the season. He may even work his way into being one of the two centre-backs. And also, obviously, he can cover it right back as well. So I think Axel Tuanzebe, for that reason, will be my surprise package, with an honourable mention to Cameron Burgess, who I also think is being a little bit of a forgotten, overlooked, disrespected man. But I'm going with Axel Tuanzebe because I think he's probably the one that's going to have the biggest impact this season of the surprise slash fringe players. Ross, who are you saying?
Sort of echo what Stu said about Ben Johnson being his, you know, summer signing so far, best summer signing so far. I've gone for Ben Johnson because he's one of the only players in his squad. Obviously, now got Calvin Phillips, who have got Premier League experience. Obviously, there's a position we need to strengthen in with Harry Clark's injury. I just like what I've seen so far, and he's really athletic and it looks like a nice lad. AJ did a good interview with him. Check that out online now for subscribers. You're welcome. So yeah, I think he's gonna play week in, week out and do really well. So Ben Johnson.
Okay. Ben Johnson, Axel Tuanzebe. I know, obviously, because I read what you boys put yesterday. You both agreed on one player, and I'm wondering now if you might want to change that pick given what's going on. So Alex, who have you and Stu got, and do you want to change?
We've gone, both of us, for Jack Taylor, which I think probably hinged on the fact that Ipswich did not have that many midfielders when writing this, and technically they still don't.
They still don't.
We still have probably like a few hours left until they do. Am I going to change? No, I did have a think about Marcus Harness because he can step into the Nathan Broadhead shaped gap somewhere, but you know what? Stick to your guns. This is a chance for him to step up. I still think there are going to be opportunities there for him with two midfield slots. And at the moment, we're talking about Calvin Phillips as the one that's near. I think that he's the kind of player that feels quite ready-made for the Premier League. I know I said that about Hutchinson, and it probably sounds a bit strange saying that when he didn't play too often in the Championship, but as a profile of a player and his characteristics, his strengths, tick a lot of Premier League boxes. McKenna's been quite keen to kind of almost shoehorn him in a little bit. We've seen him play on the left. I asked him about where he'd fit in. He said, we want to try him in some advanced roles in pre-season. He'd been playing ahead of Mass in the pivot in some of the games in pre-season as well. So I think McKenna's keen to get him in there and get him to play, and he'll have a part to play. And I'm confident he'll step up as well.
Yeah, you fall in love with certain players, don't you, AJ? It was the same with what's his name?
Don Ball.
And Jack Taylor's you've always a little bit of an affection for Jack Taylor as well.
That's interesting because I've always got a thing in the back of my mind that says he played for Peterborough United, and it just makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. But yeah, maybe. I need to have a new favourite player now Don Ball's gone. I need to have a think about it.
We need a new Swiss Army knife. Stu, are you gonna stick with Jack Taylor?
I'm happy to stick or twist. But I could keep the argument for Jack Taylor, even with one, potentially two more midfielders to come and compete in those deeper roles. I think it might actually work out quite nicely for Jack Taylor to be kind of repurposed as a more attacking player. If Schmodic's come in, there's big competition there. I can't see many starts for Jack Taylor, the way the squad is shaping up. But I can see him having a big role off the bench. And we saw how big a role subs had to play for Ipswich last season. Someone who can come on for the last 10, 20 minutes, put himself about. Remember that big slide tackle against Bristol City late on last season. But more importantly, be able to stick one in the top corner from 25 yards just when they need it. I can stick with Jack Taylor, but if I were to twist, I did have a long think about George Edmondson for this role. Didn't play a huge amount last season. He's now seen Jacob Greaves come in to add to the centre-half options. Axel Tuanzebe might come inside for the centre-half options. At the start of the summer, I was thinking, Fridge might move on. But as pre-season has gone on, I've started to kind of think, actually, his running power might be well suited to the Premier League. And it looked, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, it looked more of a back three for the Nice game last weekend. Edmondson played in that and he had a really good game, cleared one off the line. There was a sort of 30, 40 yard sprint and an out muscling of a burly centre forward down by the corner flag at one stage. And it just made me think that coming up against these bigger, more athletic Premier League strikers, he might just be seen as his qualities are quite well suited to that. So maybe George Edmondson, but I'll stick with Taylor.
Someone else I also considered for that surprise package, Stu, for the reasons you've mentioned. Right then, how many have we got left? Four. Right, okay, here we go. We can talk about this now. We don't need to spend ages talking about this because we're going on quite a nice clip. So, champions. You're all saying Arsenal, and I'll let you talk about that in a minute. I'm saying Man City for exactly the opposite reason AJ is saying they won't win. I fancy Pep Guardiola to sign off from Man City by making it five in a row. I think that will drive him, like a few things have, if I'm honest, the chance to win five in a row and then walk off into the sunset as one of the greatest managers of all time and go wherever he wants to, frankly, if indeed he ever wants to work again. I would say that's the reason I'm going with Man City. And also, friends, let's be honest, they've got a decent side. They've got a few good players, Man City. So I'm saying Man City to win again. Stu, why are you saying Arsenal?
Because I just want it to be different because it's getting a bit boring with City winning it. There's every chance City do win it again. They haven't done anything wild in the transfer window. Savinho, I think, is their only one in so far. Alvarez out. Arsenal, I think, they got Calafiori. Calafiori. Thank you, Alex. He looks like quite an interesting signing to sort of for them to have had the best defense in the league last year to have kind of added to that. And I think it's between those two, and I think it will go quite deep again. And I've just gone with Arsenal to be a little bit different, to be honest.
I'll be honest with you, if I could choose, obviously I want Ipswich Town to win the league, but of the likely contenders, I'd quite like Arsenal to win just because I really like Mikel Arteta. And I very much enjoyed that season they did on Prime. There seem to be some good blokes. AJ, you said Arsenal. Why?
Like the fact they've just consistently got better and better over time. Like the additions they've made, I think they're still going to go out and strengthen as well. And yeah, it is also about Man City as well. I feel like there is a bit of negativity there. I think that they might struggle a bit more towards the start of the season, which would be nice for Ipswich, obviously. But you look at maybe Rodri, I think, might be coming back a little bit late in terms of having played deep into the Euros, having won it. A few injuries in there as well. Are they going to be chasing? Arsenal have quite a nice start to the league campaign as well. I just feel that, yeah, that negativity would be... Blimey, okay. That was a scary noise. Yeah, I just think that also, with all these talks and things going on outside of Man City, we're going to have, a couple of hearings potentially on financial penalties, potential points deductions, all those kind of things. Regardless of whether they happen, I don't think that they will benefit the club and the whole mentality and positivity. You can't shut it out forever. So I think that they might have a slightly worse season. And even if it's 2, 3, 4 points less, that would be the difference.
I'm in so much trouble, boys. That was just an insight. Those doors slamming. Good Lord. I'm just going to pretend I'm recording this all day.
A passive-aggressive door slam, was it?
Not so much passive-aggressive. It's more just very aggressive. Rossi, you said Arsenal.
Pretty much what the boys have said, really. I just think it's got to be their year, surely, Arsenal. They've been in around the last few years. Although the Arsenal fans, you know, the TV, you know, their fan channel, I'm sure they're going to be annoying though if they win it, because they'll just go on about it forever and ever. But yeah, I think they're gonna do it this year. So yeah.
Can I come in with some transfer news quickly? It's not really massive, but it's quite interesting. Oh. We all remember our good friend Wilson Odobert from Burnley.
Yeah.
Who's just signed for Tottenham.
Has he?
He has. So there you go. That's an interesting
Loan?
One. But
permanent.
No, permanent move.
How much?
I don't know.
Undisclosed.
Just come out of the blue a little bit. I don't think any of us saw that rumoured anywhere. Obviously, a player that Ipswich were interested in signing, but he's off to play Europa League with Big Ange.
Mm. Okay, right then. We've got three more and then the big one. Right, this one. This is a bit of a curveball, which I threw in this morning. You're starting 11. So, adding in Phillips and Smodix, but I will, because they're not going to play, because they're injured, allow you to take out Hurst and Broadhead. So, Stu, I'm going to come to you, big dog. If Phillips and Smodic sign, now clearly we don't know when they're going to sign, so I'm not going to say, is this the team that's going to play against Liverpool tomorrow? But if and when they do sign, what would your starting 11 be?
So this isn't necessarily the team for tomorrow, but maybe what after the by Fulham?
Fulham, because obviously Phillips can't play against Man City, can he? And I'd imagine you'd be surprised if either of them, if they do sign today, maybe Smodics, he's been playing, play tomorrow, depending on when they're registered and all that kind of stuff. But what would you say then? So let's say Fulham, realistically.
Muric, Johnson, yep. Davis, the fullbacks are nailed on. Centre half's an interesting one, isn't it? Still not entirely certain whether it will be Burgess or Greaves, to be honest, because we haven't been able to gain sort of too many clues. But I think it'll be one or the other of those. I think maybe Burgess's pace is a slight concern to me. Mm. He's grown immeasurably over the last couple of years, but there was a couple of times in pre-season where just if you get him high up the pitch and on the turn, that against Premier League strikers is a slight concern. So Greaves, left-sided centre-half. Then it's whether it's a kind of back three-ish more look. But if it's a two, let's go with Wolfenden. He has been a loyal servant to McKenna, but I've mentioned Edmondson being a turn two man potentially. Morsi, Phillips. Now it gets interesting. Delap's going to be the striker at the moment with Hurst injured. The three in behind. Help me out here, chaps. I think I've talked about Hutchinson on the left.
Hutchinson left, Chaplin middle, Burns right.
Yeah.
That'd be my bet.
Yeah, with Smodix to come off the bench, Harness.
That's what I'm saying. AJ's thinking very hard. I'm going to come to Ross last because he won't give two sweet Fs about this. He'll just copy what everyone else says. AJ, what are you saying?
I'm trying not to copy what everyone else says as well. And
if you agree with us, that's fine.
No, I know. One of the things that is also kind of sticking in my mind a bit I think that for some games, as we might see potentially tomorrow, it's just going to be alternating between a back four and a back five, which will be the switch that I've got in my head. But when you look at the Fulham game, probably the one that McKenna wants to be, it'll be a 4-2-3-1. So to be honest, I can't differentiate the goalkeeper and defence or the kind of the two sitting. The only thing I can really add that's going to be different, I think that Smodix is going to get more minutes than has been kind of proposed here. I think that as well, the fact that he can play just off the left, he's versatile. That's what I quite like. I think that he can come in as the 10, but can also come in as that narrow left forward because he will want to drift more narrow, which will allow some space for Leif Davis. So I think that he'll get some more minutes in there. In this situation, I'll put Hutchinson right and Smodix left with Chaplin in the middle. There are so many different combinations you can have there.
That's a good shout because when I sort of said about Smodix can play off the left, that quite a few Blackburn fans came back. No, he can't. No, he can't. He can't play off the left. He's very much a number 10, but that left-sided role is essentially a Ipswich becomes sort of two number 10s, doesn't it, with Broadhead Chaplin, or it could be Smodic Chaplin, both being quite central, and then that allows Amari to play on the right, and then you've still got Burns up your sleeve as well. So, that area of the team is going to be very interesting. If Ipswich then go and sign a striker, Delap then becomes part of that equation as well, potentially. So, we'll see.
Right, I like the pace of this. We've got three more to do, and we've got a few more things to tick off, and I reckon we might be finished by about 80 minutes, which would be lovely. Slightly longer, but power-packed. Right then. Oh, okay. the Hat of Power has indeed thrown up the narrative that I kind of wanted. So the penultimate one is AJ's hot take.
In less than a minute. Okay, I've just spoken about needing a narrow forward to allow Leif Davis to overlap. However, I do not think that Leif Davis will register the most assists in Ipswich's team this season.
I think it will be something else.
And the reason for this is because, at the end of the day, if you're going to go forward, and this could be made a mockery of if Town play back five, because there'll be more of a license to do it. But if you're a left back and you bomb up the way that he does, yes, he can track back a lot. But these are wingers that are just going to kill you. And Kieran McKenna knows that you can't go and do that and leave loads of space against a Mo Salah or someone like that. And I do think that he is going to have to kind of restrain how much he does that from open play and how many chances are Town going to have from set pieces. They will have some, but it won't be half as many as they had in the Championship. So I think that he might have his numbers reduced definitely by a bit, let's be honest. And I think it could open up for someone like Maury Hutchinson. Was the one that came to mind, just because he is going to have that free roaming role. Naturally, he's going to be playing a lot further up the pitch, or should be playing a lot further up the pitch, because he's an attacker. And I like the fact he's been quite unselfish. He's learnt that. It's developed quite nicely with the way that we maybe saw him snatching at chances, wanting to score all the time earlier in his loan spell last season. And what we saw towards the end, the one that comes to mind, was when he set up Ali Alhamidi against Sheffield Wednesday for the tap-in after running through their entire defence. Selfless, think he's going to continue in that way, and I can see him being a good creator as well as a confident goal scorer.
Give me a number. 10.
Let's go high.
10?
Why not? Lovely. Yeah, I'm going to go 10.
Double figures. Go on, Sue.
Two points of order on that one quickly. One, Leif is going to be absolutely furious. I interviewed him on Wednesday.
Saw this morning, and I thought...
That's out there now, by the way. Go and read that.
Yeah, a quick plug for that. Exclusive interview with Leif Davis. Big bulk of that is about his unusual hobby and how he wants to be a pilot when he finishes playing football. So give that a read. But part of that is him talking about his FPL price, and he's urging everyone to get him in their FPL teams because he wants to break his assist record from last season. He thinks he can get more than 18 assists in the Premier League. That's where
What's the Premier League record, Stu? Just remind me.
I believe for assists from a defender in a single season, you won't be surprised to know that Alexander-Arnold features with 13. I think Valencia did it for Manchester United, going a bit further back as well. Mm. So that's a target that he's got in his sights.
And now he's got fuel for his plane. You can stick AJ saying he's going to be rubbish this season.
That's classic Heath. Adding a little bit more to what's
that's
been
basically
said.
What he said. Come on, let's be honest. Right then, this has worked out really well, actually. So the last one out of the hat is relegated, and we're going to follow that with the big question with the capital B. Where Town are going to finish? So three sides, as always, are going to go down. It's going to be hotly contested. It's probably going to go down to the wire, we hope. Who are they going to be? Ross Halls.
Leicester.
Yes.
Southampton.
Yes.
Nottingham Forest.
Yes. I agree. That's my three. AJ.
I have one of those quite a bit higher, which you'll get to see tonight, everyone. Leicester. Because, God, I had a look at their predicted team for the first game and... Everton, because and Southampton, albeit that I like their team, I just don't trust Russell Martin to adapt to non-suicidal football. I just think it'll be too open and they'll go down. Yeah.
I think Leicester and Southampton, definitely Leicester, they're in all sorts of bother. My wife is a Leicester fan. If she is indeed still my wife and she's not filing for divorce as we speak, she is not looking forward to this season at all. Obviously, they've got a points penalty hanging over them. They sold their best player. I think they're in all sorts of trouble. I'd agree. Leicester, Southampton, and obviously me and Rossi are saying Forest. Everton's interesting though, AJ. Why Everton?
How many failed takeovers have we had? It's similar to the City thing, where I just think there's a lot of negativity there. Is Sean Dyche football sustainable? I feel like it's kind of come in, have a bit of backs against the wall style, I know they did. I mean, they were a mid-table team last season that suffered points deductions. Can we rule out there won't be any further ones? Just a few too many question marks for a team that has been circling the drain for a little too long.
Oh, lovely turn of phrase. Well, then, friends, you'll have noticed there that three of us then have been and gone, and none of us have said Ipswich Town are going to get relegated. Stuart Watson, what are you going to say as a bottom three?
I think it's fair to say that if Ipswich are going to stay up this season, they need Leicester and Southampton to go down. Mm-hmm. I think Cooper is a good appointment for Leicester, but you know, we hope that everything else that you've discussed around them...
They did not want Cooper. Put it like that.
Yeah. Forest fans loved him. I think he'd have been in the conversation had Kieran left this summer for Ipswich. But yeah, for all the reasons that you've discussed, we hope that, you know, they will be one of the three. As Alex said, I wonder if Russell Martin's kind of possession obsession might backfire on them a little bit in the Premier League. And then it's really trying to pick one other. And it's when you go through that list, you really start to kind of, well, who could get sucked into it? And then you remind yourself of the squads they have and the money they've spent this summer. I think it might be sort of one of these so-called kind of established teams that Ipswich are trying to follow the model of, that maybe have reached their peak and regression. And I think maybe Brentford have ridden the crest of their wave and, you know, that they didn't finish that much above it last season. Depends, obviously, whether even Tony goes this summer. The man they've gone out, the Brazilian striker, Thiago, spent a ton of money on him. He's done his knee in pre-season and is out till the new year already. So I just wonder if they're the team that kind of gets sucked into it this year.
All of which brings us, friends, winding our way to the big one. Town will finish. So we've all said, optimistically, you'd probably say, that Town will not be relegated. So where will they finish? Stu, the big dog. Where are Town going to finish? Come the end of May next year, they return to the Premier League for the first time in 22 years. Everyone thinks they're going down. We don't think they are. Where are they going to finish?
I'd snap your hand off for 17th, Mark, as the old cliche goes. They're going to be, it's going to be a scrap. It's going to be difficult. I think understandably, there's reasons why the bookmakers and pundits have been and lining up to say that they'll go back down. When you look at the lack of Premier League experience in the squad, when you look at how long they've been away, but I just hope that the McKenna factor, the Portman Road factor, the chemistry and the spirit in the squad and, you know, you hope that some of these signings come off really well. And that is just enough to keep them up.
I'd agree. I'm saying 17th as well. I think, let's be realistic, let's be pragmatic, let's be honest about things. They're going to be in and around the bottom three, you'd imagine, most of the season. It's going to be a real fight to stay up. If they do, it's going to be an amazing achievement. And I just think that Kieran McKenna will find a way. I think he is different gravy. And I think if he can keep Town up, that just adds another chapter to his incredible developing story / legacy. So I'm saying 17th and keeping both fingers crossed and all my toes that I'm right. I think, Alex, you're saying 17th as well.
I'm saying 17th because of Kieran McKenna. I mean, it helps having one of the best managers in the league. I do think he is one of the best managers in the Premier League at a club that has just come up from two divisions. And I think that consistency is key while adding the quality around it. It's what's got them to this point by keeping the core and then sprinkling in what they need with your Calvin Phillips, with adding Amari Hutchinson, Jacob Greaves, all of that. They'll add more. It just feels like they know what they're doing. The cliche that we've heard so many times, trust the process, because what has made you doubt otherwise in the last couple of years?
Exactly. And Rossi, you're not even saying 17th, old friend, are you? You're being more optimistic than us three.
Yeah, fifth. We've got our European three. Yeah. Well, that happened last time. You know, it happened last time.
I don't think it's going to happen this time.
Ross is going to embarrass us when this happens.
There we go.
Funnily enough, just on that, I looked at some of the quotes. I mentioned that Man United game earlier on after that. And George Burley said after that game when Fabian Wilner scored, it finished 1-1, didn't it? Beckham scored a free kick. And George Burley's quote was, "Everyone's tipping us to finish bottom. You know, we want to prove people wrong." So, you know, they did go into that season being sort of tipped to finish bottom. Just saying.
Yeah, I've not gone for that, though, obviously. That's just madness. But, you know, best of luck to the boys. I've gone 16th, just one position higher. I just backed the boys to do it. And, you know what? Another hot take, actually. Maybe we'll flirt with the top half a little bit during the season. Ooh. You know, we'll have a nice little run. So,
buy a drink.
Yeah, that's incredibly ambiguous, that was. They'll flirt with the top
little
half.
Little look from across the bar.
Yeah, they'll be in the same league as the top half. Yeah. Right, I mean,
sneak
if you look...
into the DMs.
But if you look, friends, I mean, we're talking here, obviously, about the relegation battle. If you look at the finish for Town, if they are indeed, as we expect, in that battle, the last month of the season, Everton away, Brentford at home, Leicester City away, and then West Ham at home. That's pretty decent, isn't it, in that scenario? So let's hope that they're still very much in it when we get to May. Right then, here endeth the preview slash predictions part of the show. There's a couple more things we've got to do, tick off before we take our leave and get on with the first press conference of the Premier League Ipswich Town era, the new era. And that is just that, Stu. FPL. You've been dragged kicking and screaming into the KOA FPL league. We've all unveiled our sides. I was roundly made to feel like a fool on the FPL show, if you've not listened to that, because of my selections. Hey, I just want to be different, friends.
Selection.
Well, we'll see.
I don't think it's that wild.
No, yeah, exactly. Let's see. So, Stu. We haven't heard your side yet. This is the team that everyone is going to want to finish above, Stu. You're the biggest fish in our KOA pond.
No, I disagree. I think I don't want to be painted here as the...
oh, no, I'm not saying you're going to do the best. I don't think you are.
Well, I think Alex is going to win. Alex is the one to be shot at here, you know.
But what I'm saying is everyone will want to beat you, old friend. Okay. That's essentially what I'm saying.
I'll take it. Sorry, I got a bit distracted there while you was giving me that intro. Ipswich Town did just drop a tweet. Said the club is delighted to announce Nuston UK is an elite partner, a trusted name in the landscape gardening industry.
Can they play midfield?
Nuston Presses down the left.
Yeah. Versatile forward. All right, let's get this team. Do you know what? I'm in. I'm all in on FPL. I've never really been that excited about it. Because I'll be honest, I needed to know about Accrington Stanley in League One, not Premier League teams. But now I do, and I'm invested. So over the last week or so, I have changed this about a million times. It's a thing I do when I go to bed at night and I'm sit there on my phone and I've made a bazillion transfers. And I might even... What time's the deadline? It's only in like an hour or so time, isn't it?
Half six. You've got plenty of time to be sat there before McKenna comes out this afternoon.
You have got a few things to do before then, yeah.
Yeah, I might be quite busy. This is the problem. Fridays are obviously very busy for us doing preview stuff. And the trap I always fall into is I'll leave it till Friday when I know who's injured and who isn't. And then I forget. And then I have too many people that don't even start, and then I get cut adrift and then I just give up. But I am going to try and commit to it this year. Do you want my team?
I do.
Yeah. Goalkeeper first and work my way through?
Yes.
I've got Flecken as my goalkeeper with Sanchez from Chelsea as a rotation option. I think Sanchez might start for Chelsea. I've not started him for the first game because they've got City at home, but I'm looking to rotate those two goalkeepers. My back three, I've gone quite strong in defence, actually. I've got Gabriel from Arsenal, Guardiola from City, and I've got Munoz, flying wing-back from Palace. I was toying between him and Mitchell, but I've gone with Munoz. Midfield, probably the weakest area of my team. I've got Nkunku from Chelsea. A lot of talk that this is going to be his return from injury and show his his qualities of the past. Semenyo from Bournemouth, following Solanke's exit. He might end up playing a bit further forward, potentially. He had a decent return for goals and assists. Smith Rowe from Fulham, decent price. I think quite a few people have gone for him. I've gone with Salah, Haaland, Isak and Solanke, which I think is where obviously the bulk of my money's gone. I think that's a front three that a lot of people have gone with, but I'm going to stick with the crowd to start with, and then maybe eye up a few. What are we calling them? What are they called, Alex? Differentiators.
Differentials, yes.
Differentials.
That are under 10% ownership.
I'm learning. I'm learning all the lingo at the moment.
Who are you captaining in this team?
Toyed with Salah, if I'm honest. But then I went with Isak because they've got Southampton. They've got Southampton at home.
Okay. Who's on your bench, Stu?
I've got two Ipswich players. Two Ipswich players. Yeah. My bench is pretty weak. I've got Winks on there just because he's not going to do much in terms of points, but he's cheap and he'll start every week for Leicester. Yeah. So that's a break glass in case of emergency. And the two Ipswich players I've got are Leif Davis and Ben Johnson. I didn't have Leif in there to start with, but then I went and interviewed him and he was so bold in his proclamation and he told me to my face, you have to get me in your team. So I have Leif. You're not in my starting 11. And you might not be for a first couple of games, if I'm honest. But I've got Leif and Ben Johnson both going to start every week, you would imagine. So they're on my bench.
Excellent. You know all our teams then, friends. Clearly, there's still time for us to change them. That's going to be roughly the outline of our teams. Ross and AJ will be bringing you an FPL pod, in theory, every week or until we lose interest, which probably won't happen with AJ, let's be honest, as he cruises the league. Look at him, he's going to be unbearable. Absolutely unbearable, the lad. another reason he might be unbearable is because now we've got to bring back the predictions game, which again, he stormed to victory in last season and took entirely too seriously. But friends, there's an interesting wrinkle, of course, this season, in that last season, we could quite happily, quite often, predict an Ipswich Town win, or at worst, a draw. I think in total last season, there may have been three or four times when one of us predicted a loss. This season, of course, things don't changed. So Liverpool, this weekend, at Portman Road, to kick off the Premier League season, coming to the champion first. Prediction time, AJ. Mm-hmm. I think you've already given us your prediction, actually.
Yeah,
but let's pretend we didn't hear it because it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
What you're saying and why?
Yeah. I mean, the good thing with my predictions last year is I could just like be what felt like hopelessly optimistic, and then Town went and had a hopelessly optimistic season. So it was all right. Whereas this feels much more risky doing this. And I have ended up in a head the heart situation. My head says this is probably going to be a tough opener. I think they might lose. 3-1 came to my head. But I had the same dilemma last year for the Sunderland opener, and I went with my heart and they won it. They won that. I'm going to go with a draw for this one. So I'm going to take a 2-2 draw. First goal scorer. Stu said a defender to score first, and I had this in my head from the start. He's been towering around some of these corners. Jacob agrees. That's what I'm going to go for. I think pure height, back post.
Love and it. He's, of course, in your FPL side, although if he does score on Saturday, he'd be gutted because he's on your bench, I'd imagine.
Yes, he is on my bench. So prove me wrong, Jacob.
There we go.
Get that goal.
AJ's sending out messages to Leif Davis and Jacob Greaves on this week's pod. Do better. Rossi, what are you saying? Rossi, what are you saying?
I've gone for a draw.
Yeah.
As well. 1-1. Sam Morsy to score first.
Oh, that would be a popular choice like that. So 2-2, 1-1. Stewie, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Hart said they could maybe get a draw, referenced that Man United game a few times in there. Head says it might be a narrow defeat. I think they'll give it a really good go, but ultimately might fall just short. I've gone for 2-1 to Liverpool.
First scorer?
Well, I think I said Leif, didn't I, when we went round the houses on defender, so I better stick with that.
Okay. I am going to agree with you, Stu. I think Town are going to lose tomorrow, sadly. I think it's going to be in the category of a valiant, balls to the wall, full effort, heroic defeat in the first game of the season against a side that they expected to lose to anyway. I can see it being, I did want to say 2-1, but hell, I'll say 3-2. I think it might be a bit of a thriller. Let's say 3-2, a bit of an open game at Portland Road, and maybe Town surprise a few people. I think that will then be enough for us to go, core, they're going to be all right this season. And then
exactly like that Leeds game last season.
Then they go to Man City.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, Leeds, they lost 4-3 last season at Portman Road early on, and everyone came away from that feeling weirdly quite buoyant because it was like, wow, we've just gone toe-to-toe with Leeds, and we didn't think we could go toe-to-toe with Leeds. And so, yeah, it'll be as much about the performance as it is the result, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to say Connor Chaplin score first. So we've got 2-2. And you said, who did you say score first, Alex?
Greaves.
2-2 Greaves, 1-1 Morsi, 2-1 to Liverpool, Leif Davis, and I've gone 3-2 to Liverpool with Connor Chaplin.
Oh,
now we're getting messages through. What's this going on?
Yeah, that was me, sorry.
I can't look at that now. Friends, we're coming to the end of the show. Sounds like there might be stuff happening. We've done almost half an hour of stuff now. So there's much more stuff now to get on with. It's the press conference this afternoon, 1 o'clock. We've got all sorts of content coming your way. We've got the Calvin Phillips profile that AJ did this morning. We've done the exclusive Leif Davis interview, which went out this morning as well. Do I need to wrap this up, boys? Someone give me some guidance as to what's actually happening.
I'm pissing in the wind here. We're closing up. We'll deal Excellent. With what needs to be closed up with. Do what you need to do.
Excellent. Okay. Right then, friends. Any other business before I finish this show? Is there anything you want to say on the eve of this historic season?
Get in the FPL league. The code, I put it out so many times. I don't actually have it at hand, which is annoying. But yeah, go and join that. It's in the link of plenty of buyers and stuff. How much you got here? 057GK9. I'm enjoying it.
Get in the league. There will be a prize, which we're yet to determine. We need to decide.
You're now saying that, because before you were going with a bit of a TBD, you're now saying there will
be... Oh, there will definitely be a prize, but we just need to decide exactly how good it's going to be, depending on how you're doing in the league. Because if you're anywhere near the top, obviously we can't have you winning a really good prize.
That'd be really awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Rossi, you want to say something?
I just want to give a shout out to Bainesy's missus, his wife, Mrs. B, who apparently has been listening to this podcast on their way to her wedding. Obviously, I don't think she's a big football fan. So, yeah, shout out to her. Hope you've enjoyed.
Absolutely. Stu, you look like you want to say something as well?
No. The code for the FPL, I think it's a capital O rather than a zero, because I couldn't get the link to work on our...
Should be a lowercase O. I think an O should be
utter shambles. Work it out. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, somewhere Absolutely. On my Twitter, and you can just copy and paste. Or there's a link. You'll be fine.
Okay, right then. So just the usual reminder, support our sponsor, use the code carry at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on all their excellent clubber. Follow us across all social medias, Kings of Anglia on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. That's all of them. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, because we've not had one of those in a little while, and it just helps lift us in the charts, helps us in the algorithm, and helps more people find us, obviously, now. In this season of Premier League excitement, we're hoping to recruit a few more members to the KOA army. Now then, friends, I normally finish this season preview podcast with some kind of chest-thumping, heart-pounding, blood-curdling victory cry. But I'm not going to do that this year, because I think we're in for a different sort of season, and I want to keep it on the level. So instead, I'm going to finish by reading one of my favourite pieces of writing, which I always go back to. If you're ever doing anything in life which involves risk, taking chances, being courageous, and has an element of potentially coming up short, consider this. The man in the arena, Teddy Roosevelt, a speech he gave about 100 years ago. Stu, could you mute yourself? Because you're going to talk all over my lovely finish. There we go. Excellent. While you're typing. Friends, a reminder. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with his cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat. Friends, Ipswich Town are going to strive greatly this season. They are the men in the arena. Regardless of what happens, even if they come up short, they're going to put everything into it. And let's get right behind them, because friends, we are no longer cold and timid souls. We are Ipswich Town and we are Premier League. Speak to you on Monday.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.